Today's episode of The Mom Game is brought to you by our friends at Gateway GMC at LBJ and Jupiter. I know that buying a car can be stressful, but not at Gateway because their slogan is, Gateway's got it. And just what does that mean? Well, it means Gateway's got a wide selection of new GMCs and GM certified used vehicles, all competitively priced. Gateway's got it. In these busy times, you want a car dealer who makes things easy and convenient. Well, guess what? Gateway's got it. When you log on to gatewaygmc.com, look for the Shop, Click, Drive button. This allows you to shop from the comfort of your home, and who doesn't want that? In fact, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, select your vehicle. 2, create your offer. 3, schedule your delivery. And on top of all this, Gateway GMC offers complimentary car washes for life. So when you want a dealer who has it all, Gateway's got it. You can find them online at gatewaygmc.com or shop in person at LBJ and Jupiter. GMC, we are professional grade. And welcome inside the Coppola Studios for episode 260 of The Mom Game. Readjusting my situation here. I'm Emily Jones. She is Julie Dobbs. We are sipping on some Coppola wine because I need to come down from a very large case of road rage.
Yay, road rage.
Girl. We shoot on Tuesdays most days, and if you were in the DFW area on Tuesday, it was a literal shitstorm, and thought everything was clear and moved out, and I thought I'd be fine. Left a little before, an hour before I needed to be here, and no.
Everything always affects the traffic negatively. It's like, and you wonder why. Like, the roads are fine. Is it just people...
I don't know, but
frazzled.
Yes, well, count me among that group.
Yeah,
I have come to loathe being in the car in traffic, and I think it's because for so many years I worked out of the Fox studios. Which, yeah. Okay, so first of all, I came from fucking Plainview. We didn't have traffic, and then moved to Lubbock. Really didn't have traffic there, especially 30 years ago. And then I got to Dallas-Fort Worth, and so I lived in Dallas first, and then I would commute to, you know, the Fox Studios or Fox Sports Southwest Studios, which were in Las Colinas. Not a bad commute. But then when I moved to Fort Worth, when Mike and I were getting married, that drive was a bitch from Las Colinas to Fort Worth sometimes. And so usually I'm traveling, though, driving in non-peak hours, so really traffic isn't really that big of an issue. But I find... And now I live in basically a little bubble in Fort Worth, and the only time I venture over here is to shoot every week. But I have grown to loathe sitting in a car in traffic to the point where I probably need to track some sort of heart rate thing going on, because it makes me, I'm way too anxious sitting in traffic. Mm-hmm. And then I think too, then I start thinking of like, I mean, this is such a fucking waste of my time. I could be doing so many things as I sit in this traffic. And then I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'll start to look at some emails. And then the traffic starts to move. And you're like, that's irresponsible. Don't fucking read your emails during, you know, when you're stuck in traffic. But anyway, I don't know if it's just like one of those things where just add it to the list that as you get older, you just get more like curmudgeon-y about. Mm-hmm. But I think that this is at the top of my list.
It's probably just being like trapped, no sense of control, which,
yep,
you know.
And I had to pee this morning.
You have to pee.
And I nowhere it to pee. Literally took me to I don't even know if it was a 2-lane road. Like there was no even dividing line.
Yeah.
On this road that my map sent me on.
Right.
Which, by the way, if the map would have sent me into Joe Pool Lake, I probably would have driven in there too.
Yeah, I know.
And I wasn't the only one, because there was a line of cars a mile long.
People mindlessly follow ways.
I'm like, okay.
And mindlessly follow their map.
Sure. I'm like, well, whatever.
And their eyeballs also work, but they'll like stare at the ways, and you can see like, well, if I went around here, I could avoid this whole area.
So, but
it's like, oh, it's telling me to go left right here. I'm going over a median. Oh, yeah, yeah. Driving into grass. That's okay. Waze is telling me to.
This route that I went on, it didn't even, you know, usually it'll register, like it'll be red, like, oh, you're running into traffic, or yellow, it's going to slow down. This one was totally blue the whole time. Like, you're going to be great. Like, did never red popped up. So I'm like, we're in such an obscure area right now that it's not even picking up the fact that there's fucking 80 of us that are stuck on this, in this same boat.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I told you,
cheers to
the last time I had a Waze mishap. I forget where I was trying to go. But it was like, I think it was a birthday party for someone. So it was a house, but like it took me, because of traffic or something, it took me off the wrong path. And I pulled up like next to some house in the middle of like a farmland woods area with a chain link fence and like a big pit bull barking at me.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, and it was like a weird, it was really early in the morning. I don't remember what I was trying to do. It was a weird thing. Oh, it was when I was supposed to go do the like Komen race in Fort Worth, and I had to be there at like 7 a.m. in Fort Worth.
Oh yeah.
And I had stayed in Fort Worth, but I was driving by myself from downtown to wherever the race was, Shops at Clear Fork.
Yeah.
And it took me to this house with, and it was so scary. But
oh, like, yeah, there's probably like some cattle up in there.
Oh yeah. And yeah. I knew, you know this isn't, you're like, this isn't right, but my way says to go this way. Mm-hmm. So it must have some cool shortcut, and I'm about to pop up and be at a big ass shopping center with thousands of people.
Right.
And this has got to be right around this corner. And then all of a sudden there's just a dog barking and like some guy coming out early in the morning is about to have shake his gun at me.
Don't like, you feel like,
oh my God,
like terrorists could totally like hack our navigation, yes, systems and cause all kinds of crazy shit.
They could
shit.
Make us drive wherever.
There's an idea for you, terrorists. Yeah. So anyway, it's...
There's a lot there. Because I do feel like... I struggle... Anxiousness, driving, car stuff. But I'm trying to go back to music. Because talk radio for me brings back all these like just like weird anxious
PTSD
unfortunately, because I like listening to it, but I think just like calming music and not looking at a phone, and then you can kind of make that car time relaxing.
Yeah,
like, that's the goal.
Yeah,
also meds.
Yeah, also meds. The meds that are approved for driving.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, cheers to Road Rage.
Cheers to Road Rage.
And episode 260 of the Mom Game. Great show coming up. Lots to discuss. The Mavs, bless their hearts, the best thing going for them right now are your kids as reporters.
Yay!
Because, oh
Ryan
my God.
Anna.
Yay,
boom,
Ryan.
Everything
like,
else.
Can they save the Mavericks? Because they're about their only, they appear to be their only hope.
Yeah.
Ryder and Anna, this is on you. Can you save the Mavericks? They're a disaster. We'll talk about that. We've got my dog dude, Robbie's in studio with us.
Great conversation.
Yeah, yeah. We actually pre-recorded it last week, and Robbie's great, and so he's so insightful and stuff like that. And I think people don't really know about that whole human dog connection and how deep it is, and it's more complex than you think. But also too, it's pretty simple to master if you just stick to it. Anyway, we'll have a great conversation with him coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about the Let Them thing that's out there, and you're going to tell me about it because I don't know shit about it, but I have heard murmurs of it.
You and the Let Them theory will totally vibe.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It's like
your social media rant.
Say whatever.
In the past week, right. Should we touch on that?
My rant.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because that was kind of a let them.
Like, was it?
Yeah. I mean, okay. You were kind of like that, and we'll get into it. But that rant was funny, and we should probably put a bow on all the political shit because we're moving forward.
So I can't tell you the amount of feedback I've gotten from people on the fact that we kind of tried to. At least address that issue, tackle it, and inform ourselves and our listeners. And the feedback that I've gotten has been incredibly overwhelming. And I think that the way we did it and having John McQueenie, the state representative, on first and then not saying, hey, we're going to have someone on the opposing side and not like putting up, we had that intent, but we were like, oh, whenever, like maybe in a couple of weeks. Like,
we're very casual.
One day at a time over here. That people might not have freaked out as much if they would have known, like, hey, don't worry, you know. But then I think the fact that we did have both sides on, we asked questions that were relevant to political idiots like ourselves. I think people really appreciated that. And I think they also appreciated how honest we were about it. Like, listen, I know John McQueenie. He lives in my old neighborhood. My husband and him are friends. Like, that's why we had him on. I wasn't having him on to push his agenda, but it's like, hey, tell me about some shit because I don't know anything.
Right.
It doesn't mean I was going to, and I told him that. I mean, he texted me afterward. He was like, what do you think? And I was like, I mean, I appreciate you coming on. I feel like I know more about it, but I'm still not in favor of it. And he's like, yeah, all good. You know, that's
well, and
your prerogative.
If people were so,
people have very strong opinions about it. And I'm not sure if you, like, just going through real life, had random people saying things to you about the bill and this and that.
Yeah.
I did, you know, tennis, like, we're on the court and someone's like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, I'm not, this isn't like the thing I always want to talk about, but that's fine. People have big feelings about it. And so if anything, it gave him an opportunity and them to have an opportunity to see what, like, one social media clip can do.
Yeah.
Right. And then you're like, wow. People do have big feelings about this. And who knows? Because this thing's still not voted into effect.
No.
Maybe we're helping in that way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, I think it's, at least it's like, I was on a text with my girlfriends
this morning. Visible opposition to something they're trying to do.
Sure. And it's like, I was on a text with my girlfriends this morning and they were talking about it, you know, because someone came up to Tara and said, was Emily talking about Charlotte when she was talking about the special needs? And Tara was like, yes. And, you know, all that kind of stuff. I think it's just like, I feel like we're the most basic of mom, like, you know what I mean? As far as like, we're just pretty basic. Like we're not like, I don't know, like super overly involved, indulgent in any particular topic. Like we want to be good moms. We're trying not to raise assholes. We want to protect our kids. That's pretty much as far as we go. Yeah. Right. Now with Ryder and his neurodivergent stuff, you now are taking on more of a, I think, what will be an increased role for you in that space.
Psychology.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so it's different things pop up. But I feel like we're pretty much like if you looked up basic mom in the dictionary, like
basic mom bitch.
Basic. I mean, I feel like we're pretty basic. And so with that being said, that's all we were trying to do was just provide that. Like, we're going to ask basic mom questions.
Yeah.
And then we're going to let the people who know shit about this answer it. And we may not agree with the things that they say, but that we're asking the questions and that's all we can do. So anyway, I'm proud of us.
That wasn't,
you know,
like us.
To even
dip our toe into that topic.
But it was such a big, and it has to be such a big deal if I'm listening to it, if I'm hearing it, because I don't pay any attention to politics.
Yeah.
And so, I thought it was, you know, maybe we could have, you know, just prefaced the thing by saying we're going to have,
like, here's our plan.
Here's our plan of action.
Ahead of the election. This is how we're going to handle it. We're going to hear from so-and-so and then we're going to hear from so-and-so.
Yes.
And then we hope you can listen and voice your concern in the comments.
So anyway, for those of you who hung with us, and then we've had a lot of like really kind, thoughtful emails and comments and stuff like that. So we're not afraid to dip our toe into waters we don't know shit about, which is a lot, including political stuff. And so, I mean, like, and I definitely don't want to go down this road, but like the whole, I don't know anything about Ukraine. I don't know what's going on. I don't know.
Oh my God.
So we're not going there. I'm just saying, like, literally right now, if somebody was like, do you stand with Ukraine? I would be like, Did you see that
interaction?
No, I heard about it. And I don't think I can bring myself to watch it because it's so cringy.
It's so cringy.
Okay. So I haven't seen that. I don't know. And that's embarrassing. And people will probably yell at me. Like, I need to fucking learn about what's going on. When people say, if someone asks me,
you know your limits. You know your brain capacity.
Right. But like, if someone put me on the spot and was like, do you stand with Ukraine or not? I'd be like, I don't. Can I kneel? I don't know. Can I just do a squat?
Friend.
Can I do a squat? Like, I honestly don't know.
Pop a squat for Ukraine?
That
sounded bad. Not like on them.
Right. But I honestly, like, to my core, don't know anything about it. I know there's like something, like there's something called Hamas, right? Mm-hmm. Sounds bad.
That part I don't really,
So anyway, I don't think we're going to get into Ukrainian stuff, but maybe we will. You never know if it becomes a huge thing. I feel embarrassed that I just said that out loud, that I don't know anything, but maybe I should maybe read an article.
Well, Emily, I'd be upset if you lied.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Because this is what you're all about. This is what we're all about. And there's a lot of people out there that don't know shit about baseball. So there.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
You know, but, like, we all have our strengths.
No, but I don't know anything.
I don't know anything really about Ukraine, but I do know about what's happening in the news, I guess. And
I do know that Trump was fighting with who in the Oval Office?
Zelensky. He's Ukrainian president.
Okay.
So like the U.S.
So
has provided aid to Ukraine for their war with Russia that's been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
A lot of aid to Ukraine.
Okay.
And the Ukrainian president.
So why were they fighting?
Came here to basically kind of ask for more help to keep. I'm probably saying something wrong. Trump's trying to
he's saying he wants peace. He wants it to end. What's it going to take? Whatever. He was pissed off that he and J.D. Vance, who spoke a lot in this conversation, the vice president,
okay,
who people hadn't really heard from in a scenario like that. And usually it's not a vice president stepping in. It's usually just the leaders of the countries or whatever, having these conversations. Anyway, he was trying to ask. They were having a meeting to kind of touch base on all of it. And Trump and Vance didn't feel like he was saying thank you, essentially.
Enough. Okay.
It didn't say, feel like he was saying thank you and then disrespecting America. He kind of hinted at, like, we're feeling all these things. We're feeling all the pain of war, and you guys will too, which you can take as a bit of a threat. And he did. And Trump was kind of like, see ya. Like, I'm not going to stand for that, especially in the Oval Office.
Okay.
We've given you a lot. You would be nothing without us. You don't have the cards, were his words. I watched this video. It's just crazy because usually in that setting, the leaders of a country, leaders of the world, don't behave that way.
Right.
And it was kind of on both sides. I mean, they were arguing back and forth, and it was like they both were so convicted in what they were saying. They felt like it was worthy of arguing, and it ended badly. He left, and I guess there was supposed to be some lunch and all the photo ops and everything, and it just ended very badly. So for the state of the world, it was a big deal.
Okay.
And so I don't really know where it stands now, but that's kind of what that was. And it was a cringy video. And you could see the Ukrainian, like the lady who was with him, who's the ambassador for Ukraine, for US or whatever, like the one trying to help make sure that relationship's good. She's sitting there like,
Oh God, no.
We're blowing it. He showed up in like a long sleeve shirt and pants, and he walked in, and Trump was like, oh, so you dressed up for the occasion.
Yeah.
So like we had been pretty, we were good, and right now we're not good. And they're the ones fighting with Russia. So
you heard
Conan O'Brien at the Oscars make a joke about being standing up to the, well, we can stand up to the Russians on like someone we know, like talking about Trump. I'm sitting there with Kelly. I'm like, why is Conan talking about Trump at the Oscars? He's like, well, it's Hollywood. Anyway, it's a whole thing, obviously. But then the one thing that I'm concerned about is grocery prices, apparently. And the, remember the tariffs we talked about with Canada and all that? Like, that's actually going into effect like this week. So things are going to start costing more.
More?
Mm-hmm.
They're already high as shit.
Yep. I'm interested to see how that affects us, because when you trickle down to the mom world, which is what we say, all we're trying to control.
Right.
Like, don't make my groceries cost more. I don't know. Or maybe we eat out more.
But no, that's going to get, eating out more is not
the
solution.
What about the meal delivery services? They're kind of at a
stagnant price. Everybody needs the goods to eat.
I know.
Whether it's coming from a food delivery.
I know. But can they jack up their prices?
185% they will jack up their prices. So will restaurants. Think about barbecue restaurants, the shit they've been dealing with.
No, I know.
Like the price of meat. Now this whole bird flu egg.
And then we got the measles. I mean, it's hard. It's so easy to like just ignore. But sometimes it just starts attacking in the face. Like spring break, we're planning on going down to we're not doing anything big. We're going down to San Antonio. It's my mom's birthday. And she's like, do you feel okay bringing the kids? There's some measles outbreaks there.
Oh.
And I'm like, wait, what? Like, what? Like, because the measles, I'm like, well, there's a lot of kids that live in San Antonio.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're okay. You know.
I've just got to the point where it's like, are you okay going here? And I'm like, yeah, sure. I don't know. Like this morning, it was like literally 70 mile an hour winds and the sirens are going off. And I'm like, I'm going to go get on the Peloton. Am I, what? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, fuck, I can't. There's nothing I can do about it. He's like, well, we have a storm shelter. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's that bad. Like, don't wake the kids up and then the dogs, like, I'm just going to go in on the Peloton. Like
90%, 95% of the time, these things are okay.
Yeah, we're just going to forge ahead.
Yeah.
I know.
That's kind of what we did. Yeah. I laid there with my sleep thing over my eyes, and I was like, Kelly, are you looking at
me? I know.
I was like, Kelly, are you keeping an eye on this thing? He's like, yeah, I think we're okay. I'm like, all right. Like,
yeah.
Ryder came in, cuddled with us. Anna never woke up.
Yeah.
The dog didn't wake up somehow.
Yeah.
And then it moves.
I know.
Along. It hits you and destroys your house. But
yeah,
there's really nothing in between.
Do about it. I know. Yeah. Anyway, okay. You know, it would be a good idea for us to just like decompress and relax.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we get to do that today.
Oh my God.
Okay. So I'm
so
really excited
to
about
see
this.
If you can relax.
This
is going to be the whole goal.
Okay. So we have a new partner here on the Mom Game.
Yay.
It's called World Springs.
New partner
and we're
alert.
Super excited
Cheers.
About it. So you've been, you and Jasmine, our sweet, sweet producer. God bless her. She's going through a rough time right now. Our sweet, sweet producer, Jasmine and Julie. I worry about her a lot with these Mavericks things. We'll talk about it later. So y'all have been. So, and I've heard about it. I've seen a few people here and there talking about it.
Yes.
But it's like this like ridiculous, crazy place with all these bodies of water that you just like lay and relax.
Yes. It's just like a relaxation area out in the grandscape. So it's right here. It's kind of like you're going on a little mini vacation, but yeah. It's right here in DFW. And they say that at World Springs, wellness is as it was meant to be. And I think that's the part that people don't really understand. It's like a wellness excursion. So if you're like us and you're feeling stressed, like maybe you're like, I have back pain, like I have this, I have that, like they have something for you, and you basically
can't
just
wait
relax.
For the road rage springs. Right? I'm going first.
Well, in other parts of the world, this is such a big thing, yes. Right? Like covering the Dallas Stars for so long, it would come up in conversation, like, you know, with the guys from Finland or Russia or whatever. Yeah. Like they would go to the hot tub, they'd go do a cold bath, they'd go do this.
I remember when Razor was talking about that when they went to Finland.
Yes. Yeah. It's such, they have the baths, you know, all around. And so that's kind of what World Springs was trying to emulate with their park. So it's over 40 mineral hot springs. So like 40 little pools when you go out there. They're inspired by restorative waters from across the globe. 98% of people felt better, Emily.
Oh, I can't wait.
I hope you're in that 98%.
I am not going to be a 2%er, damn it.
After a soak out at World Springs. If you're ready to join them, then we actually have an offer for you. When you book your next soak at World Springs, you use the code MOMGAME.
10. Nope. We got it up to 10.
Oh,
it's mom game 10 now, which is good for you to receive $10 off
great.
Your soak reservation. That code is good until April 1st. That is no April Fool's joke. So mom game 10 to receive $10 off your soak reservation. We are headed there right after the show. Cannot wait to give you a full report. Certain restrictions apply on that. You can't use it with other offers, different things like that. But yeah, head on out to World Springs. We're going to take you kind of behind the scenes there and show you exactly what it's about. So,
and they've got massage, I can't wait. Facial, they've got all the things, cryo.
Wish I could just stay there all day.
Yeah. Well, let's go another time when you can. It'll probably be in April.
Yes, for sure.
Okay. And just
yeah, March
really
is
relax.
Cray because of spring break.
It is. But yes, thank you, World Springs. We're so excited to partner with you.
Are.
And they do want you to know that it's a great destination for spring break, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we have different spring breaks this year, which is weird.
We do.
Okay, let's talk a little sports. Sports brought to us by our friends at Tylock, George Eye Care.
I say this every time, but I think about it every day, how grateful I am that I don't have to wear glasses or prescription sunglasses anymore, because we're trying to cut out all the mess in our life. And that was one thing that it did stress me out. Do I have my glasses? Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. That's all thanks to our friends at Tylock George Eye Care. That custom lens replacement is just one of the many life-changing options from the trusted ophthalmology experts at Tylock George. We've had the doctors on the show. They are wonderful. They do offer 24 months interest-free financing with approved credit, so you don't have to worry about, can I afford it? Just go in, meet with them, talk with them. We do have a mom game discount for that as well. You can go to tylock.com or you can pick up the phone and give them a call. There's something for you. Emily has already had LASIK. She was able to have a surgery that helped her get rid of her readers. I had not had LASIK, so I had that procedure done, and now I don't have any glasses at all. It's amazing. Just go to tylock.com/TMG. Or just pick up the phone, give them a call, and tell them that the mom game sent you.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely life-changing. Just got a call from Tyler yesterday asking how my vision was doing.
Oh, awesome.
Like, pleased to report, it's doing really kick-ass.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Good.
Okay, sportsy stuff. We alluded to it earlier. The Mavs, God bless them, are a disaster. Mm-hmm. Kyrie Irving now out for the season. That was like their only hope at this point, I feel like. And he, God bless him. Like, I mean, he had a reputation when he came here, but that dude is legit.
He's great.
As a human, as a leader, as a teammate. Yes. Like, he seems like, as a basketball player, like, he's got it figured out.
He's got life, you don't want to say he's got life figured out, but, like, his mentals are in the right place.
Yeah,
he takes care of his body.
He's so thoughtful.
He's so thoughtful, and when you really, like, hear him speak for a long time, I won't say get to know him, we don't know him.
No,
but when you hear him speak for a long time, you realize how he might have gotten caught up in a New York media.
Yeah, because you go on the defensive.
Yes.
I've been there so many times in my life where you're ready to pounce.
Here.
You know?
With our thing. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. And it's a shitty place to be because you're like, I don't even feel like I can just be myself because I'm so worried about being reactive and pouncing.
Yeah.
And I still do it. That's where the cobra came from.
The cobra. And then you had a good term on the phone the other day. Crash on people.
Crash out.
Crash out. That's what the kids not say. It?
Oh, yeah.
No.
I'd be like, Mom, don't crash out on me.
Okay, but I love that because Ryder
I'm about to crash out on you.
I'm going to start saying that to him. Be like, Ryder, please don't crash out. Don't and it'll make out. Him laugh and it'll See? Click with him.
Turns it around.
I love it. So, yeah, I think with Ooh, Kyrie.
Can I give you another one?
Sure.
Take a deep breath.
Mm-hmm.
Blow it out your bottom. Well, I was going to say ass, but you
can
say
ass. And then you make them laugh.
Yes. So I used to do that with Henry when he would have anxiety going to school. And so he would start to get anxious. I remember that was when he was riding his bike to school and I would run with him while he rode his bike.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be like, what are you nervous? He'd be like, oh, I'm nervous about this or I'm nervous about that. And I would be like, okay, buddy, look at me. Take a deep breath. And he'd be like, yeah. And I'd be like, now blow it out your bottom. And he'd be like, yeah. things are so funny. And I do that with my girls in softball too. I'm like, take a deep breath. I'll blow it up.
Okay, I love this.
Yeah.
Did you hear that somewhere or make it up?
Did I not ever tell you the story?
Uh-uh.
Ron Washington, Derek Holland. So it was during the playoffs in 2010. And, you know, Derek was going through a rough spot on the mound and Wash went out there, you know, and it's fucking Wash. He's amazing. So he said something and then left the mound and went back to the dugout. And then, you know, Derek shoved for a while after that. And after the game, we asked him like, hey, what did Wash
shoved
say to you?
Good.
Shoved. Oh, when you're pitching? Yes. If you're if you shove, if you're a pitcher and you're shoving, you're
I like it.
It's good.
Okay.
Yes. So he shoved and then we were after the game, we're like, what did he say? And he was like, he told me, take a deep breath, and then he paused. So Derek's like, he was like, now blow it out your ass. And I'm like,
That's a washism.
And can you imagine like in the tensest moment of your professional career and you got Ron Washington fucking strutting out to the mound and telling you to take a deep breath and blow it out your ass?
I mean,
like there's nothing better. Like drop
literally.
The mic, you win the best speech ever. Like it's
seriously.
Yes.
Because you just got to get them to relax.
Yes. And that's all you're trying
and
to do.
And that'll do it. The deep breath helps and the
deep
making
breath
them laugh.
And then blow it out your ass.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That's my favorite.
I'm so grateful for this knowledge.
Yes. Anyone who's ever, like my kids know it, the girls who have ever.
Can I tell you that when you're stressing out or will it make you mad if I tell you that?
Oh no, it'll definitely piss me off. Like, you know, it's like I'm drawing the line here.
Like when you crash out on me.
Yes. You can't use my shit against me. Don't you ever fucking tell me to take a deep breath ever.
But no. What if I say blow it out your ass?
No, then
won't you laugh?
No, I might punch you.
But what if you can't expect Henry to do something and then not be able to take it from
yes,
me.
I can.
No,
I've been through way more
can't.
Shit in my life than he has. He can't result to physical violence yet. This is a place in my life that I've earned. Physical assault is absolutely on the table with me at 47.
Emily, I would like
I'm
to continue
kidding.
This into a sixth year, and we can't do it if you're in jail. Okay? Get you a little
you wouldn't
get you a little mic pack
to me. You would never press charges against me.
I wouldn't.
No. I wouldn't
be a badge
physically
of honor
assault you.
If I got a black eye from you.
God, can you imagine?
Post that shit. We'd go viral.
Oh, we would go viral.
That's what we need.
Podcast co-host. Light. Okay, well, tell me to take a deep breath and blow it out my ass and we'll see what happens.
So funny. Back to Ron Washington, though. That's amazing.
He's okay. We need to get Wash on.
Can you?
Of course I can.
Well, then fuck. What are we waiting for? Excuse me. That was
okay.
A big F-bomb.
Washer. Yeah. Okay, I'll reach out to him. He's the best.
I would love to hear just not even baseball stuff.
But just him telling stories.
Yes.
If I could, I've said this a million times. If I could only talk baseball with one human the rest of my entire life, it's not even up for debate or discussion or anything. It is 100% Ron Washington. The stories that he tells and the way that he tells them are so next level. It's just like you just sit there and listen. And the over under on F-bombs is probably at about 43. I mean, it's just.
I love it.
He's such a treasure. I love him.
I love it. And there's a bigger conversation maybe we'll save for another show, but I have been thinking about something I want to talk about with you.
Okay.
Like.
Put it in the tackle box?
Yeah, let's put it in the tackle box. Players coach versus hard-ass coach. And where we're at on that. Maybe we talk to other people about it. because it goes all trickles all the way down to kids too, right?
Yeah.
But we were kind of explaining that to Ryder and stuff, and I was interested to hear your take, and I think it could be a big conversation.
Yeah.
What's better?
No, I agree. I like it. And two, Mike's been helping with my softball girls because we've had coaches in and out. My staff is a little thin sometimes. Just kidding. So Michael help, and he's so different than they're used to with me, you know.
Is he hard ass?
He'll be like just stuff like they'll be doing a drill and like, you know, the girls are rotating. He'd be like, you know, he's hitting them fungos or whatever. And he's like, okay, go move. Get out of my drill. Get out of my drill. And I'm like, oh, so harsh.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
I have had a tennis pro that like when he was done, he was like, go away.
Yeah.
Go away.
Get out of my drill.
Go away.
Get out of my drill. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
But it's good for them. It's absolutely good for
them. Good for them to have a little bit of both.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it's not like I'm sunshine pumping constantly. I'm like, hustle, let's go. But I mean, get out of my drill. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Dang, Gina. So anyway. Okay, where were we? Kyrie's done. Mavs are a disaster. So that, Ryder and Anna are the only people that could save them.
Yeah.
And I'm almost like, I wonder too, and Jasmine, I don't think she can talk to us on air, but are Mavericks fans now starting to reach the fatigue level? Like hardcore. So I'm a Mavericks fan. I love them. I want them to do well. I was crushed when Luka got traded. But after about a week, I was like, I'm cool. I'm moving on. Like, it's part of sports. It happens. Whatever. Are hardcore fans now, have they just been kicked in the nuts so many times in the last month that they're finally like, you know what? I give up. I'm just going to lay here in the fetal position.
Hopefully. And I think they were in the fetal position, and now they're just getting kicked in the fetal position.
They're getting kicked in the ass while they're in the fetal position.
Yeah, they're just protecting
themselves. Because then they raise ticket prices, announce that, and then the same day, Kyrie goes down with a season-ending injury.
Can you just call?
I mean, uncle.
And it's sad because there are a lot of bright spots and like good players and good young players and you know.
And I feel so bad. Like the guys that are actually playing, they're busting their nuts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, go get it. And I root for them in that regard. Like, I think the Mavs front office is wackadoodle right now. But I'm also cheering my buns off for the guys that are actually out there on the floor. Like, come on, man.
Everything else going on is out of their control.
Like, get after it. I hope they go. I hope they make the playoffs and win a round. I don't, because just to like, God bless those guys.
Everybody.
Jeez.
Well, it'll be interesting now because I was just reading like something yesterday before Kyrie went down with an injury, and it was like, is Kyrie enough to be the only ball handler
now? And they're, God bless them.
They're like, no,
yeah. Okay,
they don't
talk about this for 800 hours. God bless the Mavericks. Period.
God bless the Mavericks.
But what? How was Ryder and Anna's experience? So
yes.
They looked adorable. Ryder with his sunglasses. And I mean, we talked about this. My kids, I think, are too old to pull something. Hattie might be able to squeeze in there. Henry's way too old. Like, your kids are the perfect age, and their personalities were so adorable. I haven't even seen any of it except for the teaser video, and they were so cute.
It was such a cool experience.
Yeah.
Like, I think as somebody who's worked in media this whole time, like, I don't know, it was so much cooler to have them do something.
Absolutely.
And like, I was like the producer. Yeah. Like, I was standing there like, okay, y'all stand here, kind of like setting the scene, introducing the players to the kids and, you know, whatever. The Mavs were wonderful with this whole experience. They were excited about the idea and welcoming Ryder and Anna to the Mavs blue carpet. If people haven't been glued to our socials and don't know what we're talking about, my kids went to the Mavs ball on Sunday night, and they got to interview the Mavericks players. And Adam, who is on our Mom Game team, part owner with us here on the Mom Game, he's an amazing videographer. He and his wife actually do wedding videos. So we called on them to go out and shoot it. And it was just so cool. Ryder, I think, like, took really a lot of pride in trying to come up with thinking about it hard. He's kind of a silent thinker.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to do well. And Anna's just kind of like, ooh, like just asking silly questions. But like, she asked some good questions. Like, you'll see when the clip comes out, she asked almost every single one of them. She just looked up real high, by the way.
Sure.
I think if we do it again, we need a ladder or a step stool. She'd be like, is basketball hard?
Yeah. Well, that's
and
fine.
They would stop down and be like, yes.
And I
actually
bet they
maybe
probably welcomed it. I bet they were like, oh my God, take me back to those cute little kids to ask me questions.
Right.
You know what I mean? I did see the one that like got down on one knee
So that was Guitar Slayer. So Guitar Slayer.
Who's that?
So he's like the guitar guy for Machine Gun Kelly. And he,
okay.
Yeah, and he also did the guitar in the NBA finals for the Mavs, in the playoffs for the Mavs. So like he's got a relationship with the Mavs.
Okay.
And he showed up. So you know how it is as a media person. You're sitting there and you're waiting and you think you're going to get players.
Yeah.
And then they're like, do you want this guy? Do you want that guy? Oh, so-and-so.
Yeah.
Because they kind of want those people to get a little burn, get a little shine.
Absolutely.
And so they bring over Guitar Slayer. They're like, do y'all want to talk to Guitar Slayer? And we're like,
oh my gosh, you like quickly Google
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, who's Guitar Slayer?
And so,
I'm so unhappy.
You know what
with
I
this.
Did? I said, because it was quick and I'm trying to coach the kids. So I'm like, okay, yes, let's talk to them. I'm like, so Guitar Slayer, can you quickly explain your job to the kids? Well, I'm also like,
yeah,
to the kids so they know kind of what to ask you.
Okay.
And so he did.
Hey, pro move,
I'm
Julie.
A good producer.
Kudos.
Better producer than probably reporter.
Kudos.
So this is good. And so the kids were like thinking about, and Ryder plays guitar. So it was really perfect. And so, you know, he's kind of like, this was one of our first interviews. Kyrie was like the first Mavericks player, by the way. So he got so much better as the night went on, just being like natural and all that. But with Guitar Slayer, he was so sweet, so precious. And he heard Ryder played. So then he started kind of asking Ryder some questions, was like, oh, you play guitar? What song are you working on?
Oh my gosh.
Ryder's working on a Benson Boone, Beautiful Things, learning the chords, and he's going to sing it at his recital. You know,
oh my God,
with his guitar teacher playing background.
Stop.
It's going to be, I'm going to die.
You are going to die.
So they connected over that and they were like geeking out together. So anyways, the whole experience was so fun. The players were so nice. Max Christie was like probably our favorite, like as far as like just going back and forth with the kids. And Ryder asked him about the difference between Dallas and LA. And he was like, good question. He like went on and he's like, you know, the weather and it's cheaper here and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
He had his little disposable camera, took a picture of the kid.
Yeah, I saw. Oh,
and then
so
didn't
cute.
Know how to do it. Like it wasn't going. He was like, oh it's broken. Oh, had to
you
give
have
it.
To wind it. You got to wind it.
Got to wind it, Max.
Max.
And so then the Mavs played last night in the game that Kyrie got hurt in. And we're like, y'all come watch your friends. You know,
oh, so that's
like
so
y'all
cool.
probably done that, like had that kind of feeling. And we used to have it with the Stars and don't as much anymore. So it was really, really special, really cool. A big thank you to the Mavericks organization and those players. They're just. They're good
that's what I'm saying. I mean, listen, do you think the PR staff is drawn up these plays like they're not but they're the one them and the players they're the ones on the front lines that have to kind of wear everything and continue to go out and do their job despite all the decisions that are being made from the front office, which are very, very, and I'm not trying to be too harsh, like I know there's shit going on that we don't know about, but they're very, very hard to understand from an outsider's perspective. Well, yay Ryder and Anna. I mean, my favorite was like when Ryder like is standing behind a little bit behind Anna and she's doing an interview and like it looks like he's her security.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the cutest thing ever. And I feel like your kids are at the perfect age and the perfect personalities to make something like that amazing. So,
thanks. They were super
so
cute.
So kudos to you.
Yeah.
Right fast, little quick hit, but Jimmy Johnson is retiring from Fox as a broadcaster. And they did have that. Did you see it during the Super Bowl pregame show? They had this huge tribute to Jimmy. And it was like
they knew
what just happened. And so there's really no clarification on if he knew then and he didn't want to be like, and now I announce my retirement at the Super Bowl. Like if he just wanted to be like, yeah, look, that's cool if you guys want to do a tribute, but I'm not really going to announce it. Or if he was like, I don't know yet, but there's a chance. And Fox is like, well, we're not going to let you get out the door without us telling you how great you are. Whatever. But kudos to Jimmy. He looks amazing. He's like 80 years old.
Yeah. And he was fun to watch on there.
He's fun to watch. He's always a great like listen to anything. When he talks about football, he talks about like fishing. And I remember Mike Leach telling stories about him. Jimmy, make sure you get Jimmy in here. I remember Mike Leach talking about Jimmy Johnson because Mike spent so much time at the end of his life. Before he died unexpectedly, not like the end of his life, whatever.
No.
When he was still here.
Yes.
In Key West. So awkward. In Key West and was big fisher and then angler.
Bike rider.
And bike rider, as we learned here on the Mom Game.
So they had the fishing thing in
so
common.
They did. He would tell stories about him. I don't know that they were super tight, but I just remember him telling me stories.
Yeah,
about Jimmy,
they were,
and I've never had any interaction with Jimmy. But definitely bringing up that whole players coach versus not players coach. He was not a players coach.
Mm-hmm.
He was like This is my ship, and if you're going to be on it, I'm running it the way I want.
And worked for him.
It absolutely worked for him.
One of three head coaches to win a Super Bowl, two with Dallas, and a college football national title.
With Miami, right?
With Miami.
Yeah.
Yep, and there's two others.
Okay, is it in my notes?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, one's easy.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Pete Carroll.
Barry Switzer.
Barry Switzer.
The Cowboys in Oklahoma.
Yeah. Barry, he's a fucking trip too. But totally different coaches.
Yeah.
Those two.
Yep.
But both great.
Right.
Just totally different styles.
Exactly.
Okay, let's get to some feed stuff. What is on your feed? Brought to us by our friends at Audrey Dolan's Media and Community Mechanical. As you well know, we have talked about Audrey Dolan's Media here on The Mom Game for the last several months. They have really helped us up our social media game, working on a new website for us right now. They do brand management, monetization management, collaboration management, influencer campaigns, content creation, photography, social media management, anything you can think of in the marketing / social media aspect of things and growing your brand and your business. Audrey and her team have it covered. So grateful to have them as a part of The Mom Game. Anytime we have a question about how to, you know, tackle a collaboration or how do we get the most out of it, we're going to World Springs. Rohana sent us a list of things to do so they can create some great content for us to show exactly what it is that we're doing. So they are on top of the game. So you don't have to be on top of the game. You still have control of your brand and your mission and all that kind of stuff, but they help you put it together in a nice, pretty little package while still keeping in line with what you're trying to do and the identity that you've established already as a company. So if you need them, please reach out. Audrey Dolan's Media, audreydolans.com, and you can find them on all the socials, Audrey Dolan's Media.
Yes, they're wonderful. And thank you to Community Mechanical for their support of The Mom Game. If you need some help with your HVAC system, they're the ones that can help you. Whether you're building a new home, they can help you design and build and figure out how to set that thing up in your home. They can help you repair or replace it. And then what I love is the preventative maintenance. So it's one more thing to kind of take off of your list, and they're professionals. They can help you with it. They can check in every 6 months. They will tell you when it's time to switch out that air filter so you don't have to nag your husband about it. This is really important right now because we know that it's about to get real hot real soon. You want to make sure those bad boys are working and that they can keep your family cool in the summer. 0% financing. Call or text. You can just text them. 469-667-7290. Say you heard about them on The Mom Game. Please, communitydfw.com. If you sign up for preventative maintenance, you'll get a Mom Game tumbler or t-shirt. And if you end up buying a new HVAC system, maybe you need one anyways, maybe it's time, maybe yours isn't working very well and it's huffing and puffing and you know that you guys are going to struggle with heat this summer, just go ahead and get one from them and then you get to attend a Ranger suite night with us.
Yay! Okay, so we alluded to this earlier, the let them thing that's happening right now.
Yeah.
I see it a lot on social media. I haven't really delved into it. It is. It's based on a Mel Robbins book. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So I've heard Mel Robbins speak. She spoke at a Scout and Seller convention one year.
Oh, okay. So you're very,
very familiar aware with her. Yeah, and she's a stud.
Yeah.
Okay. From all outward appearances, whatever, she appears to be super on brand with a lot of things I feel and believe in.
Yeah. And I was just gonna say that, like, she reminds me a lot of the same mindset that you have, which I've kind of embraced and I think it works. Like, it works. It's like you can only control so much in your life. Let the other stuff fall to the wayside.
Right.
It's all kind of noise. Like, pick what it is that you care about and lean into that and don't worry what other people say about you. And we've talked about it ad nauseum, like with the moms at school or the kids and their friends, or when we were younger, like, we cared so much, or at least I did, cared so much about what everybody thought of me.
Oh, absolutely.
Needed to wear these shoes and these clothes and be friends with these people and go to this party. And you see it replicating with kids and parents.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just a mindset that can also help with clearing your brain, right? Like, you can't worry about all that stuff. So I love that, you know, she has put this theory out there. She wrote a book called The Let Them Theory, which someday we'll read maybe when we have time. But it's basically like, I just kind of have the little promo, I guess, for the book here, because it gives a really good synopsis for it if you haven't heard about it. But it says, if you've ever felt stuck, overwhelmed, or frustrated with where you are, the problem isn't you. The problem is the power that you give to other people. Two simple words, let them, will set you free. Free from the opinions, drama, the judgments of others. Free from the exhausting cycle of trying to manage everything and everyone around you. The let them theory puts the power to create a life you love back in your hands. And if you just like take that simple kind of like mantra and apply it in different avenues of your life, I think it could just be really powerful. And for me, you know, we can discuss a little bit about like how that resonates with you. But like, even for me, it was even in a career, you know, like you think you're supposed to be this certain way. You think you're supposed to be this certain person. You go to school for XYZ. And then you're on the radio and you're exposed a lot, like your personality and everything you say, and other people are listening. And there's a point where I was just kind of like, I'm going to be me. Like, who cares? I'm going to be me and take it or leave it kind of thing. And I did probably gleam a lot of that off of you, honestly. And I think that it's very valuable. Yeah. Like, it really is. You're you, and kind of middle finger to whoever doesn't like it. And that's a little bit more abrasive way to say this, but I think that's what the let them theory is. Yeah. And now all these moms are like, this is genius.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, like, I think that's something that comes with age, right? I mean, there's something that comes with age. There's something that comes with, you know, like where you are in your career or your personal life based on the goals that you've set for yourself, all that kind of stuff. Because listen, things still get to me. I mean, absolutely, they still get to me. You know, when I get criticism, it still stings. You know, but it's like I just have a whole different approach to it now and a whole different way of looking at it, to where I'm like, you know, I just really don't care anymore. Like, I just don't, you know, because I feel like I know who I am as a person, right? And even if I fuck up, and I'm going to, and I do on a regular basis, that like, even if I do, I can like fall back on the fact that like, okay, I fucked up, but this is, let me tell you why. And I feel like that I've kind of gotten to the point where I've established myself in this crazy world that we live in, and the semi-public eye and all that kind of stuff, is this is who I am. And that's why I got so fired up about the McQueenie thing, because it was like, seriously? So you're telling me that like after how many years, like after 5 years of us doing this podcast, you think we're just gonna like, you think we got like a kickback from some fucking like special interest group
for
John McQueenie to come on the Mom Game? Like, you think, is that really? And so then that's when I get pissed off, is like, have we not established this? Have I not shown you who I am? And I guess when you're, you know, every day you're exposed to maybe new people that don't know that, and that's fine. But yeah, I cared so much about what people thought, and I still do. But I think now I care about the amount of people whose opinions I value is so very small that it's like, unless it's one of these, you know, group of people, I just really don't care. You know, just
think of all the people and all the opinions, and affect you.
That's great.
So I just love that mentality is like becoming.
Yeah, let's get it, Mel.
That's essentially what she's saying.
Yeah.
So it says, like, you know, with this book or whatever, like, you can learn how to stop wasting energy on things you can't control, which is so true.
And I haven't even come close to mastering that.
Right. It's hard.
There's a lot of shit
I tell. And that's what I'm trying to preach to my kids, because they get worried about all these other things. I'm like, control what you can control.
Yeah.
Worry about what you can control. If it's something else, like, sorry, you can't do anything about it. So you can control how you react to it.
Yeah.
Stop comparing yourself to other people.
Yeah.
Break free from fear and self-doubt. Release the grip of people's expectations. Build the best friendships of your life. I think that's important too.
Huge.
You know, like, who likes you for you?
Yeah.
And who isn't hanging out with you because they want to take a picture and put it on Instagram?
Can I tell you this funny? So my remedial book club. So this is, so it's the Remedial Book Club. That's our name. And because it's really, like, there's three of us that really don't read, and everybody else is also in an advanced book club. And so for me, I'm basically like super tight with about four women. And it's been that way for a while. And I really don't do anything outside of, not anything. I mean, I will still be social, but anyway, whatever.
Right.
So I started this whole text string called the Remedial Book Club. And it's all girls that I've known, but everybody didn't really know each other. But all my core girls, they're in that group.
Yeah.
So the other day I was like, they were telling somebody, one of my girlfriends was like, you need to branch out or you need to do this. And I was like, listen, girl, like, I'm on a text string with nine women and only four of them are you. Like, and you know, the
branched out.
I have branched out. Like, this is baby steps. Like,
yeah.
And then I said to them, I was like, so what's the over under on amount of time before the newbies start distancing from me? Like, and my friend Jennifer was like, I mean, 2 weeks. I was like, damn.
Like, you can't even get a month?
At least 2 months. I mean, but it's been over a month and we're all still kicking. And
well, and I think the older you get, like you said, and the more aware you get, everybody gets on the same page. Like,
yeah.
I just went to a brunch for great friend 40th for her 40th birthday, and the conversations were deep. Like, they were good. It wasn't just like, you know what I mean? And like, I saw an old friend from high school, we caught up, and it was like, let's talk about real shit.
Yeah.
Like, and I think, like, to your point, like, there might be more people that want to hang around now because they're all realizing, and if they're all really reading this book.
Yeah, but it too, also can like, be fun.
Yeah.
Like, also, you know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah. Like, you need to go.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we clown each other. Like, we went to this event the other night, a couple weeks ago, and they're like, what are you wearing? And I'm like, well, I'm wearing this blue dress that another girl in the text string, Anne, because I call her Fashion Anne, she'll, like, get on my Rent the Runway account, and she hearts stuff for me. She's amazing. And so I was like, well, Anne, you know, I got a few dresses. And then I was like, I'm going with the blue. And I was like, it's tight as shit. But I was like, according to Jennifer, that's my MO, is to wear shit that's really tight, which I don't care. Yes, I do wear tight things. And I'm totally okay with it.
Let them think that you always wear tight things.
Right. And I don't care. Like, mm-hmm. I just don't care. I mean, my boobs weren't hanging out and I wasn't, you know, shit wasn't up to my ass. But I was like, yeah, I wore something tight. I work fucking hard for this to look like this, and it's not going to be this way forever.
You should.
Did I tell you the story about Hattie's friend, Elena?
Mm-mm.
So I was wearing this outfit, and it like has this little cutout where it shows like literally 1 inch of your stomach. So I go to pick Hattie up, and we're at a restaurant, and my Hattie's friend Maxwell was like, Hattie, your mom is wearing a crop top. And Hattie was like, Mom, you're wearing a crop top. I'm like, it's not a crop top. It's like literally 1 inch of my stomach is showing. And sweet Elena looked at me and she goes, you know what, Miss Emily? My mom says, do it while you can. And you can do it. I was like, Elena, I love you so much right now. You can come live with me anytime. So,
right? Well, it's true.
Yeah. I mean, and listen, I'm not trying to like embarrass my kids by wearing revealing stuff, unless it's a sexy nurse outfit at Halloween. But also
then
too,
that's the
it's
goal.
Like I'm comfortable in what I'm wearing and what I'm doing and what I'm saying. And yes, I'll stick my foot in my mouth sometimes and I will fuck some shit up. But at the end of the day, I feel like I hopefully have, you know, established the fact that this is kind of who I am. I'm a fucking disaster. It's in my social media profiles that like I'm doing the best I can, but I don't have it all figured out at all.
Yeah.
And so if I misstep along the way, it's like, it's not with ill will or ill intention. Like I just fucked up and I didn't know something basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think what's cool is that I feel like you've been that way for a while. And now I think the rest of the world is like reading this, not the world, but a lot of moms are reading this book.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like what Mel Robbins.
You're just worried too much.
Fury has been. It's like, let them think it, stop wasting energy. And then, you know, it helps you create those friendships that matter. It says, create the love you deserve. Pursue what truly matters to you with confidence. Build resilience against everyday stressors and distraction. Define your own path to success, joy, and fulfillment. So, I don't know.
So, I just wonder, like, how, like, people who are, quite frankly, like, I'm not friends with people who I can't be my total self around.
Yeah.
I'm just not. I just won't spend, I value my time with my friends and in social settings too much to like have to put on a show and
right.
Okay, here we go. This is so lovely. Oh my gosh, look at that centerpiece. It's
right.
Beautiful. Like I don't have that in me.
I think
a lot of people I think are comfortable in that setting. So if you're comfortable in that setting, then get after it. For me, it's like, I don't have the energy to make you think that I'm cool and sophisticated and refined. I don't have it in me.
Let them think that you're unrefined.
So, well, because I am. Well, maybe we'll read that book.
That's why I wanted to have that conversation.
Yeah.
I just feel like it resonates. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. And I think we all have a lot of noise in our head as parents.
And listen, I've got plenty. I mean, yeah.
And it helps you cut out the noise a little bit.
Yeah,
if you
it
just
does.
Realize not to.
It does.
That none of that stuff matters.
Right.
And not to worry about it.
Yeah.
Easier said than done.
Yeah. 100%
good. Yeah. But Mel Robbins, you're onto something.
Yeah. She's a badass for sure. Okay. We got to get to our guest soon. So we quick hit some TMG news desk before we get to our sweet Robbie. Brought to us by our friends at Qualis and One Day Doors. So, fittingly enough, I bet a lot of people have some storm damage on their roofs. Roofs.
Yeah, you're thinking like roofs, like hooves or something?
Hooves and roofs.
Roof.
Sorry, Qualis. Let's start again. With this storm, I'm certain that a lot of people have experienced some damage to their roofs and also just general damage around their house. 70 plus mile an hour winds can screw some things up around your house.
Same with reindeer hooves on their roof.
Yes. I mean, that Christmas Eve, that happens all the time. So the guys over at Qualis are three friends who basically wanted to do some general contracting the right way and not be shady and all that fun stuff. So they started Qualis, and they have brought a level of customer service and community to the residents of Dallas that people aren't used to from roofers, because honestly, they kind of have a bad rap, but not these guys. They're focused on relationships. They want to build one with you. So then you'll recommend them to friends and family. They want to take care of you and your home. They do roofing services. They can repair them. They can completely replace them. Your insurance company recommends that you have your roof inspected at least once a year. So have them take a look at it. It doesn't have to be a painful, experience for you. So the guys at Qualis are ready for your call. Give them a shout at 817-500-9008 for service in the DFW area. Mention the Mom Game, please, or fill out their online web form to schedule your free estimate. That's right. So storm cams in, you don't know what's happening on your roof. Get the guys from Qualis out. Let them check out your roof. It is free. Mention the Mom Game. As I mentioned, you get a free tumbler or t-shirt if you get a roof inspection, zero obligation there. And then you get to join us in a Ranger Suite night if you end up pulling the trigger and getting a whole new roof. So QualisGC.com, that's QualisGC.com, or call 817-500-9008. Mention the Mom Game.
That's right. And I don't know if you've been staying tuned to the socials, but I recently had some new doors put into my home. I've got an old home, and we're slowly getting everything updated, and the doors were needing some help. So One Day Doors and Closets came in, gave us some new doors. I have the cool sliding doors now in my bedroom with the mirrors on them. So when I'm
so
getting ready.
Fancy.
Yeah. When you're getting ready, you can just look in the mirror as you're getting ready. It's an amazing concept. Actually love it. And kind of a skinny mirror, just saying. It's a good, you can have a good mirror and a bad mirror.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's skinny mirror, but it's definitely not a bad mirror. So another reason you should call them. Get a skinny mirror in your room.
Ask for the skinny mirror.
Save all that energy on the Peloton. Just get a skinny mirror. You can replace your interior doors in just one day. They have this really cool 3D measuring technology. They can make a digital blueprint of your existing frames, and then they custom cut doors to fit those frames. They're really, they're solid doors. I never even realized you can have a hollow door and you can have a solid door. The solid door keeps the noise out.
Yes, it
Kelly
does.
And I both work from home. We've got a dog. The solid doors have been clutch. And it's also something that really updates the look of your home. They kind of say that equates to hanging a new piece of art in every room. It just looks polished. It just looks nice. Their process typically starts with an in-home visit. You can also go by their Louisville showroom. Their prices are great. They typically save customers 30 to 50% on their doors compared to big box stores or using a handyman to come in and put in a new door. Let them do all of it for you. Call 940-969-4790 or head over to onedaytexas.com/promo30 and burying the lead here, buy one, get one free on those doors so you can swap all those bad boys out, upgrade your home. You don't have to do extensive remodeling and you're going to feel like things are good as new inside your house. Thank you to One Day Doors and Closets.
BOGO. Nothing like a BOGO sale. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that we didn't get to yet?
We got to a lot.
We did. I mean, we should have saved the Ukraine educational talk for news, but...
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I know. Well, that's all we know.
That's all we know.
But we're not, just everyone, we're not going political on you. We're going to dial it back a little bit. But I am going to read an article or two maybe on that cringy.
Yeah, you probably should.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
we've got a wonderful interview coming up.
We do have a wonderful interview coming up. And we need to get to World Springs so mm-hmm. we can fill everyone in on what it's like to
soak.
Relax.
Mineral waters.
Okay.
All the things.
See if it works. I got their work cut out for it with me.
You're going to have to pay double.
I mean. Okay. All right. We'll be back next week. But right now we have
our special guest from Estill Dog Psychology.
Yes, we have been talking about him here on The Mom Game for quite some time. He has worked wonders with my Izzy and my Gallo. He is Robbie Estill of Estill Dog Psychology. Robbie, thanks so much for being on The Mom Game.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I know, and I just said when you walked in, this is the first time I've ever seen you without a hat.
Yeah, I'm usually a hat guy. But
yeah.
Sometimes
you got all dressed up.
You got to get all dressed up.
Tightened up the fade. I like it.
Thank you.
Okay, so whenever we have guests, I always tell people kind of a little background of our story. Yep. And I saw you on social media, reached out to you. And then when I met you for the first time, you actually told me that we knew each other-ish from a company called Ameripak, which when I had a baby gear manufacturing company called Posh Play, we used Ameripak for our fulfillment, and you worked there.
I was the one actually fulfilling that.
Were you?
Oh, wow.
It's kind of weird how the world works.
So yeah, Robbie was packing baby mats and diaper clutches for Posh Play.
It was like one day.
Oh, my gosh.
I know it.
I know.
How interesting.
Yeah.
And then the way you guys ended up working together was because you started a company working with dogs, and then she had dogs that needed some help.
Yes.
And you guys found each other.
Yeah. And so my question is, how did you go from Ameripak to working with dogs the way that you do?
Yeah. So when it all starts with my dad. So when my dad was a kid, he used to raise his own hunting dogs, and he actually used to raise his own pigeons too. He was in a pigeon race club and like.
Club.
It's a whole thing.
So. Okay.
Growing
up, how do we not stop down there for at least a second? So, pigeons race.
Where are they going?
Yeah. So he even did it later in his life when he was here living with us too. And so he had a pigeon coop, and they're homing pigeons, so they come back to where they're born or they're hatched. And so there's clubs out there that actually take these birds and they put them in a trailer and they go hundreds and hundreds of miles away, and then they release them at once, and they have these bands on their feet. And they fly back in at times and calculates the distance and speed and all this.
Wow.
But there's actual race clubs out there. So
that's unbelievable.
So it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
I never knew it. I mean, I knew my dad did it growing up, but when he started doing it when I was older and I could understand it, it was pretty wild. But
animals truly are amazing.
Yeah. Seriously.
Like, how do they find their way back?
So it's instinctual. Where they're born is where they come back to. So that's how, like in the medieval times and stuff, that's how they would send letters and
carrier pigeons.
Yeah.
So they would.
Back in the good old days.
Letters to them and send them back.
Yeah. That's so crazy. And babies too. They delivered babies.
Yeah.
With storks.
Yeah. Yes. With storks. When the storks weren't available, when the storks were busy, it was the pigeons.
Right. Everything was so much simpler back then.
Yeah, I know, right?
Okay. Sorry about the stop down.
All good. So my dad would raise his own hunting dogs. And so when I was growing up, me and my brothers with my parents, we had a ton of animals in our house, including dogs. And so we just learned to live with them because my dad would treat the hunting or the dogs that we had as a family just like regular work. It was work to him. And so I just learned how to live with dogs and how to interact with them and how to treat them. And, you know, so then I go to college and fast forward through life and Ameripak and all this stuff. And I've always had this draw, like I've always been drawn to animals and dogs. And so one day a friend of mine was like, hey man, you should look into like dog training. I'm like, I don't want to wear like the baggy cargo pants and treats and like all this stuff. That's not for me. Like, he's like, no, dude, there's a whole thing out there that of what you've lived and what you do that kind of relates to dog training. And so I had a friend that started looking into it, and sure enough, there's a whole dog psychology world. And so I started studying it, and I started to realize like, this is just how I was raised with animals. I just didn't know how to articulate it and put it into literature form and to teach people. And so then I started going to workshops and started to meet people and these bigger trainers. And I worked for a company for a couple of years training dogs. And then next thing I knew, it had blown up, and it was an opportunity for me to start my own business. And that's how we met.
Yeah.
So there
absolutely.
We are.
Absolutely.
Wow. Cool. And so I'm sure you found that there's a huge need for this. I mean, you look at how many people there are in this world with dogs.
For sure.
And how huge of a part of these people's lives these dogs are.
For sure.
And when you have dogs that don't know how to behave, it can be very stressful for people.
Sure.
So how have you seen that kind of demand for what you're doing increase, and how important is it to people's world?
Well, I think it's very important, but the main thing is if you go back 30 years ago to now, the way we treat animals is way different. You know, like the way we view our animals and our pets, they've become more of our family. They've become more of our kids in a sense. You know, you hear people say all the time, my babies and fur babies and all that stuff. And so we treat them differently, where 30 years ago, I really wouldn't have had a job because dogs stayed outside.
Yeah.
There were some dogs that would come in, but most of the time they sleep outside. You know, so the view of dogs and how we live with them has changed. And so I think that's created kind of a demand for me and what we work on and what we practice, because now when we take the dog who instinctually lives like we did 30 years ago, 100 years ago, and now we're putting them in the human world. And so it's a little challenging for them because the dogs and the humans don't know how to interact at times.
Well, and one of the things that I have appreciated about you, you explain everything so well of like, this is why we do this. This is why we do this. And it's also too, you're not, it's like, what's your tagline? You're changing.
Training humans one dog at a time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's not just the dogs that need to be trained. It's us as well.
Yeah.
And then another thing I've noticed was that I've never seen you give my dogs a treat.
Right.
Like, you don't do treats.
Yeah. So
You're not bribing, you're not, right. You know, you're teaching them.
Yeah, and I think treats are a great tool to teach and to motivate, but it just can't be the only reason that your dog does something. And so a lot of people fall into that trap where they think they have to carry around the fanny pack full of chopped up hot dogs and all this stuff, because you are getting the dog's attention in that moment. But what happens when you go out and you don't have that bag? Are you connected to the dog? Is your relationship strong enough where the dog wants to listen to you, where the dog wants to, I say this very loosely, obey you?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they just in it because they're getting something, you know? And so you can use it as a tool to teach, but I believe you have to wean them off at some point to where your relationship's strong enough, not just the food and not the reward and the value of it.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. with Gallo and Izzy, we used to give treats for certain things. Now we don't.
Right.
You know, it's like they know if they want to come in the house, they have to sit down.
Right.
They have to sit down, and then I open the door, and they know they can't come through it until I tell them
right. mm-hmm.
that it's okay to go through it, which I never thought we would be able to do without some sort of bribery.
But right. the reward is coming in the house, though.
Right, exactly.
You know, and that's the part people miss, because they think that everything's tangible, you know, so they think they've got to give some high reward value treat. But actually, your treat is saying, hey, if you relax, that's the deal. You relax, you respect that, then you can come in.
Yeah.
You know, and so once you start to view it that way, it starts to change kind of how you view your dog. And the pet industry has done a really good job at tugging at heartstrings and selling a million different things that, you know, harnesses and treats and all these things that work magically. And to be honest, like, what it comes down to is, what relationship do you have with your dog?
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important thing. Because if you don't have a relationship with your dog, it doesn't matter. You know,
yeah.
just like kids, like, I could send my kids to you, they're going to respect you because they're human, because you're an adult, but they're not going to know, like, are you going to feed me properly? Are you going to exercise
right.
me? They don't know what comes
what
with
to
it.
Expect.
But
yeah.
with me and my wife, you know, that comes with it, you know, because there's a relationship that's been built. And so people that struggle, you know, will throw the dog in the backyard, let the dog figure their own day out, and then come in, let them bring them in the house, and then they expect the dog to listen to them and respect what they want and all that stuff. And it just doesn't work that way a lot of the time.
So this is, I'm sure, a really big answer. You could talk for a long time about this, but how do you kind of summarize training a human.
Yeah.
It's probably very challenging to train those humans.
Yes.
And they probably don't always want to cooperate and
for sure.
And have the time to listen and put in the work.
Yeah.
But what are the important things that a human needs to do if they really want to grasp this concept and see a difference in their dog?
I think consistency and structure are the biggest things. And I told Emily this the other day. I said, if all of my clients were like Emily, my life would be so great.
Mm-hmm.
Because she puts in the work. And I can't convince people to put in the work. You either want to do it or you don't. You know, and I'm going to give you all of the tools to be successful. I'm going to give you all of the information that you need to be successful. But it's up to you with what you do with it. I mean, the main thing is if you go home and nothing changes, then expect nothing to change. You know, that's just how it is. And so for me, I think if you're consistent with your information, if you can structure your dog's day a bit, and it doesn't have to be like these giant things we have to do. I mean, Emily knows, like, it's just finding these small little bits and pieces, like controlling space in the house by using a bed and getting them to stay on the bed. Walking your dog properly, like creating that relationship through migration, which is what animals do to begin with. Those are the things that create the relationship. So now when you have that strong bond with your dog, you have a much better chance of getting to your dog and teaching your dog what, no matter what state of mind that they're in.
Yeah. And it's like I said before, and I've said, you know, I've said this to you, Julie, like he's not, the thing I appreciate about Robbie is he wasn't trying to make my dogs not my dogs and like these robot dogs that are just going to like go and do whatever I want whenever I say and whatever. You know, there's stuff that I still have to do. We still have to do as a family, and my kids are good at it now, like making them sit before they go outside, making them sit before they come in, you know, getting them calm before they go on a walk. But it's, you know, he gives the dogs the foundation, and then it's up to you when you bring them home to continue to build on that foundation.
Yeah.
So you can still have that, like you said, that relationship with your dog.
It's tough. I mean, it's just like anything, right? Like exercise, working out, like, yep. You know what to do.
Right.
It's hard to do it. It's hard to wake up. Emily also wakes up at 5 and works out every morning, and I don't, like, you know, and I have an Australian Shepherd, yep. And she's 3,
yep.
And I'd love to have her go through the program and the process. But my fear is that she comes home and I'm like, she comes back into my chaotic world and I'm like, I don't have the, oh my God, like I know what to do, but like I can't, yeah. You know.
And that's part of it. I mean, there's some people that excel more than others, but also like it comes down to what you want.
Yeah.
You know, if you want a very militant dog, if you want a very militant lifestyle, then create it. If you have a looser lifestyle than that, who cares? Then that's
right.
What you got. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, you just adjust and adapt to what's in front of you and then you deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So to Emily's point, like my big thing is to never take away from the dogs. Like I want the dogs to be dogs. So when they come home, I want them to get excited. I want them to be crazy. I want them to do, I want you to play fetch and do all the things that you normally do. You just have to be able to have the balance and be able to turn it off when you need it off.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's never about taking away, because in my opinion, if you really look at a dog's world, the more structured you can make them, the more relationship that you can build that's strong, you actually expand their world as opposed to shrinking it. And that's a lot of people's fears. They think, well, if I send the dog off, they're going to be robots and then their world shrinks and they can't do anything. But I believe that if you actually give the dog what they want so they can make choices, feel safe, understand that they can follow you, then their world gets way bigger. Because now you can introduce them to more things. You
mm-hmm.
can do more things with them. And it just makes your life a lot easier. And so to your point, like, yeah, you may feel like when you go home, my lifestyle is not exactly like everybody else's, but that's okay. You find what works for you, and everybody has different needs.
Yeah.
But I think the main thing is that there should always be a foundation and a base, you know, and if you can get your dog to balance, to a balanced lifestyle, just like with humans, when humans are balanced, their life seems a lot brighter, a lot easier. They make better decisions and things seem good. It's the same thing with the dogs.
Yeah.
If we can get them to that, then you can adjust to whatever you do at home.
Right. And ours is pretty good. But there are a few things, and I wanted to ask you about them because I feel like they're really common mm-hmm. dog, like annoying things that a lot of them do. And you mentioned you're still every once in a while do. And I wonder if there's like some reason why the dogs do this. One of them barking when someone walks up to the door, and like the freak out when someone walks up to the door.
Launch themselves. I mean, Izzy will launch herself. All four paws are on the door at the same time. That's what we're working on now. And that it's still a work in progress. Like Robbie came over and he did the whole, we did a video of like all the chaos that takes place when somebody rings the doorbell, comes to the door. And now I'm working with them to get them
chaos
to break that natural instinct of theirs.
It's sad for the dog because, like, my dog is so sweet. But, like, if I have a friend come over, that friend thinks my dog's insane.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You know? And she's like, I'm not going over there. I'm not letting my kids go over there. That dog's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you just gave it a second, she'd chill.
Right, right.
So that's one thing. You know, and I know a lot of dogs are like that.
Sure.
Why do they do that?
Well, there's a couple things. So association-based, are they looking out a window or is it a doorbell or what?
Doorbell, usually.
Gotcha. So if you think about a doorbell, like, what does the doorbell mean to a dog? So if you had a wild pack of dogs right now and you went out and rung a doorbell, what is a dog going to do?
Go nuts.
No. They're going to do nothing.
Because they don't know what a doorbell is.
I see.
You know, in the woods or whatever.
Yeah.
Or a wolf. They're not going to go.
I thought you meant there was a wild pack of dogs at the door and they rang the door.
It sounds like you have that. So.
The dog would be like, are you serious?
Look at all these wild dogs at my house.
Ringing the doorbell.
So if you rank it in the wild, you're not going to get a response most likely.
Yeah.
I mean, you might get curiosity, but you're not going to get that blow up freak out. And so it goes to show you that freak out comes, it's human made. You know, so we unintentionally, we train that, we create that. And so what happens at home when the doorbell rings, what do we do as humans? Someone's here.
Yeah.
I don't like it either.
Who is it? It is. It's very like, there was a time when I'm like, I just uninstalled our doorbell. I'm like, it freaks me out too. Like,
why do you have the right to interrupt my day?
Your energy naturally goes from normal, hey, everything's cool, to they're freaking out, right?
Somebody's here.
Yeah. And so that dogs are always reading our energy and they're always going to reflect that energy back. So when we freak out, the dog's going to freak out, right? So that's the initial thing that generally happens. They freak out. So now the humans all, oh my God, the dogs, the kids, like what's going on, right? So now we're trying to gather ourselves before we get to the door. And so the dog's practicing all that. And the challenge becomes is if we don't have any way to address the dog in the moment, because dogs do live in the moment, if we don't address it when it's happening, it's hard to teach it. So if we get mad at the dog after the guests come in, they don't know.
Yeah.
Right. The thing we need to address is when the doorbell rang. And so the doorbell is, again, human led or human created. And so when that doorbell rings, the association they create is energy gets high. I go nuts. Nobody can control me. And so now I go to the door. And so that continues over and over again, over and over again. But usually what happens when the door opens, somebody comes in and goes, oh, I love dogs.
Uh-huh.
Oh, right. They're not going to be rude.
Right.
They're going to, okay, cool. There's a dog. So now they're going to pet the dog. And so when they start petting the dog, now the dog goes, oh, that doorbell means I get excited. Everybody's excited. That's what I'm supposed to be. Human comes through the door. Now I get pet. So now I get the reward when somebody comes through here. So this is how I'm supposed to react.
Yeah.
Now the window thing, when you see the dogs bark at things throughout the window or through the window, a lot of times what's happening is the dog is barking at whatever's out there. And then that thing keeps walking and goes away. So what did the dog learn? I bark, I protect the house, the thing
they
goes
go away.
So now if it kept me alive today, guess what I'm going to do tomorrow? I'm going to do the same exact thing. I'm going to bark, that thing's going to go away. I did my job, I protected the house.
Yeah.
And so it just becomes this pattern that we create over and over and over again unintentionally a lot of the times.
All right, what was the other one?
So block off the doorbell. No doorbell.
No.
Oh, no. I mean, it's good for you because nobody will come over.
Yeah.
Right.
No. But the sound, you have to change. You have to create a different association with the sound of that doorbell. And that's what Emily and I are working on. So Izzy's creation with the doorbell, her association with that is I hear the sound, I go to the door. And so what Emily and I worked on is we've got to create the situation where when that doorbell rings, it's not an event. Because the event is I blow up, I go run, I launch, I do all that stuff. But we have to stop all the steps prior to that. So she has to hear the sound and actually teach her brain and her body to go backwards as opposed to forwards. And so that's what Emily and I are working on is the sound of that doorbell does not mean you go forward. It means you relax and you stay here.
Okay.
And so we just have to play that sound over and over again, create all the movements and the sounds that are going to happen with that doorbell interaction. And then we just practice it without the outcome that she's used to.
Yeah. All right. The other one that my dog does, and maybe this isn't as common, this might be more of an Aussie thing because they obviously have their things that kind of set them off as herding dogs.
Right.
But like we're walking, we're on a casual walk, everything's great. And then attack the leash.
Oh, yeah.
Attacking the leash out of
attack
nowhere.
Attack the leash.
Yes.
Just
like, is there things going on or
no?
Okay.
I don't know.
I think Belle might just be special. This might be
he's nodding his head.
Oh, he is. I've never heard of this.
Oh, yeah.
It depends. I mean, I'm just asking because if there's something environmental.
Well, at least maybe, but I don't see it.
Yeah.
Maybe she sees something.
Yeah, because a lot of the times those reactions are coming. That's a symptom of a root cause, right? So you're seeing the symptom, the leash biting, the whatever it is, right? So what is the root cause that's creating that? You know, and so it could be seeing another dog. It could be a reflection. You know, there's, I yeah. see it obviously.
Yeah.
But in that moment though, that's a good teaching moment to be able to teach the dog that that's not okay.
Right.
Right. So when she does freak out, you know, you can use the leash to kind of guide her back, to pop the leash, to say, hey, just cut it out. Like, you're good. Like a little tap on the shoulder with the leash.
Yeah.
Just to mark that, hey, that behavior, like, you're fine. We're safe. Like, there's nothing to worry about. But getting information during that time, and that's what I was talking about, when dogs, they learn in the moment, those are those moments that you can start to teach in. But I would challenge you, the next time you run into that, like, just look around, like, see what's going on, what could have triggered it, and see what that is.
Sometimes it is, like, after she sees another dog, but she'll keep walking, and then I think she thinks about that other dog, gotcha. And then she goes nuts, because it's not, like, right when she sees it. Like,
another dog that just went
it's like, man, that dog really pissed me off, and then, like, she starts attacking the leash. She's so interesting. Okay, so these aren't specific to me anymore. I was just being a little bit greedy there, like, and asking you some questions while you were here. But what would you say are some signs that somebody needs to come see you, and then what is the process that you take with a new customer?
Yeah, I mean, there's several signs, and I mean, I think to everybody it's kind of unique, because again, some people, their wants are different than others. You know, some people want their dog to relax, where others just want to teach them how to walk. You know, I don't get the dogs, unfortunately, they're just like, hey, can you just teach them to just, like, hang out with other dogs and just be cool? I usually get the ones that have issues. Yeah. So that's my job, so I'm used to it. But I mean, for me, I always look for, if you can't fulfill your dog, meaning walk them, if you can't teach them to calm their mind and relax, you know, let me do it for you. Like, let me teach you how to do, let me get the dog there and then teach you how to do it. Because if you can't do those two things, then it makes everything else harder, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And they can sense if you're tight and you're, you know, sure. Dogs can, they know.
Yeah, dogs are always reading your energy and your body language. Those are the two most important.
And so are our kids. There's so much pressure on us to just be calm. And
I tell people all the time, chill. This is kid. If you've raised kids, you can raise dogs. That's why I do a dog camp, a dog camp for kids every year, every summer.
You got to tell us about that.
For sure. Yeah. So every summer we have, I have a bunch of trainers. I launched this last year. We do a camp for kids that includes dogs, and we teach them how to be around dogs, read body language, when to pet a dog, how to read a dog, how to walk a dog. Like, it's a 1-day camp
that we do. That's smart, because I know a lot of people that are just inherently terrified of dogs.
For sure.
Yeah.
And so I'm a big believer in, if we start early with kids and teach them how to be around dogs, it's going to save dogs' lives. It's going to keep kids safe. And I came up with this idea because my 10-year-old Rhett, when I started training dogs professionally, he was a year and a half old. And so, I mean, he doesn't know anything about dogs at that point, but I had some pretty serious dogs coming in and out of there. And I had to learn, like, okay, how do I keep everybody safe? And it wasn't training the dog. I mean, training the dog is one thing, but I had to teach Rhett to respect animals, mm-hmm. and create space, and learn that if I respect them and I, you know, how they are and read them, then I'm safe. And so I learned a long time ago, if I can teach kids that, we'll save a lot of time and a lot of heartache.
Yeah.
And so that's why the kids camp thing to me is like my bread and butter, heart and soul.
Yeah.
Because
I've got two that would benefit.
Yeah. So I actually just met with the people that, we did it in Fort Worth last year at Printed Threads. It's a company that I use to print all of our stuff. But we use their location, and I just talked to him yesterday, and we're getting it on the books for this upcoming summer. So
awesome.
I'll let y'all know.
Super. Yeah, we'll definitely want to pass it along.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Okay, in the meantime, how can people find you, get in touch with you? You're pretty accessible on social media as far as answering questions and all that kind of stuff. Tell people how the best way to find you.
Yeah, so... Instagram's kind of my biggest push. You can follow me on, it's just Estill Dog Psychology. Just find it on there, follow me, send me messages. You can also email me at info@estilldogpsychology.com. We're very responsive. I don't let anything slide through, so we'll get to you, even if it's a day or two later. But my biggest thing is education too. Like, just ask a question. Like, I'm very accessible, like you said, and I love to talk about this stuff because I'm passionate about it and I'm happy to help. Emily knows, but I work 24/7 all the time, like 365. And I love it that much. I love it. And I'll continue to do it. And I just want to help people and dogs, because to me, I just feel like everybody has a purpose on this planet. And I believe my purpose is to help dogs and people learn how to coexist again.
Yeah.
You know? Because 100 years ago, we used to, when we would work with our dogs, you know, when they worked on the farm, when they would herd for us, when, you know, all the things that you can think of they used to do, we just don't do that anymore because life's become very convenient for us as humans, and we don't need that stuff anymore. And so there's a constant struggle and battle, I believe, between dogs and humans and on how to live together. And I like to be the one to be able to bridge that gap for people.
Well, I'm so glad that I got connected with you, and you've been such a blessing to us and our family and our dogs, of course. And I'm going to keep working. I just keep playing. I can play I've got the video on my phone of the doorbell and the door opening and all that. And so we're getting there. Yeah. But Lord, I mean, can I tell you the night and day difference? Like my dog, I couldn't take my dogs on a walk because all it did was whip my ass. I was like, all they did was drag me. Yeah. And I'm like, this sucks. I'm going on a walk to relax. And these guys are whipping my ass. Yeah. And so now, like, I'll just casually walk with them beside me. It's so amazing. Anyway. Well, Robbie, thanks so much for coming in. Absolutely. We appreciate it. Please let us know about the camp for kids. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks so much for coming
thank you for
in.
Your time.
Yeah, thank appreciate you. It.
Absolutely. All right, we end every episode with the peace signs. Yep. Mom game out. You know,
I love
the drill.
It. He knows.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Mom game out. Out.